May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, dear Lord, my rock and my salvation. I'm talking this morning on the Great Commission. Jesus himself gave us this Great Commission to take the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Not only does God love each one of us, but he also loves every other person in the world the same. The world needs to know about and respond to this godly love. So in the name of Jesus, it is our responsibility as the corporate church of kingdom builders to carry out this commission. Our church is positioned and capable. Our ministry starts right here in the center of Pittsburgh as God continues to soften our reluctant hearts. We see and feel through his soft nudgings the needs of so many people around us. Through our hands-on ministry at The Rock, well, now on Main Street, laugh members plus other volunteers two by two work very hard as they fill two ample bags of groceries per family. We see low-income families. We see most without transportation, existing on welfare, all asking for food. We see young mothers pushing baby carriages, holding on to the hands of little children. Silently, as we watch, we find it very hard not to judge them as inferior. Dear God, forgive our selfish attitudes. Lead us in the choices we make to daily to reflect your passion. Help us when we judge others, especially the poor and helpless as inferior. We pray to you to lead us in responding through your eyes to what we see and feel. As we look out into the world at large, we see the reality and feel the devastation that exists in so many countries and nations that surround us. We see famine. We see starvation. We see naked little children standing around with no one to care for them. We see bloody wars between neighbor nations and murder of innocent human beings. We see what happens to poor and powerless people who may manage to escape death in wars, hurricanes, and floods, only to face the reality of starvation and disease. We cannot avoid seeing the poverty and the helplessness of thousands of souls that Jesus loves. But where are his disciples today? Well, guess what? They're right here under our red roof. If God is gently nudging you to ministry in any capacity, don't look away, but look up at your blessings and count them. Then put his calling first in your life. Let God help you decide where to serve and what to do. Then tell our pastor, Richard Hyduk. He'll help you. Or tell me. I'll make sure we go to the place where we can find out what comes next. All of us must learn to look at our world through the loving eyes of Jesus and to love all people just the way they are. That's hard. But as we get involved in it and just do it, we'll become more understanding of our great commission from Jesus Christ. Each church organization plays a critical connection to corporate kingdom building. God knows where each of his churches are located and where each of his church members live. We are called as a church to kingdom build. If we do nothing but play around and have a good time, God will see the hopelessness of our hearts as of no value to his interest, and he will simply pass by us. Little by little, our church will weaken and die. It's the responsibility as his church to take the good news of salvation into the world. One of the ways we do this is through apportionment giving. And some of us don't even know what that is. Others don't want to know. It means paying our share in the cost of our worldwide mission. A lot of people in our church even want to keep this ministry inside the walls of this church. We don't even want to take it out into the streets of Pittsburgh. But make no mistake about the purpose of this church. It is to spread the good news of salvation to the end of the world. In closing, I want to hold up two apostles who made clear their views about the church. The Apostle John writes in Revelation 19:7-8, "Let us rejoice and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready." Did you get it? The bride is the church. "Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." These righteous acts are not religious deeds done by believers for their merit. No, they reflect the work of Jesus Christ to save us. At God's appointed time, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus will burst upon our scene. Then everyone will know that Jesus is Lord of the universe. I'd like to be here when that happens. I can just picture that. I'm sure I'd be scared to death, but somewhere I would want to see that picture. Now listen closely to what Paul says from Romans 8:35-39. And it's hard to read this without choking up a couple of times. See if you recognize it. "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Wow, that takes my breath away. The Apostle Paul loved the Ephesians. He wrote to them from prison in Rome, not to discourage them or correct them, which happened in so many cases, but to encourage them by describing the nature of the church. The church under Christ's control is a living body. a family, a dwelling. God gives believers special abilities by His Holy Spirit to build the church. Special abilities? Do you believe that? Have you discovered that? Paul refers to the church as a body, a temple, a bride, and a soldier. And this is very comforting to me. And I think it will be to you when you think over those words. One more quote from Paul. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Paul tells us, Christ loved the church and gave her himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that includes me, without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish, but blameless. And it can include you. The good news of salvation is available for us too. And this is very important. Not for works, not for money, nor for church attendance or fancy words out of anyone's mouth, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, simply believing in Him. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Jesus has done it. It is finished. The ransom price has been paid for His church. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're about to sing our last song, God of Grace and God of Glory. And I'm going to make an altar call. I've never done this. Richard's always encouraged me. I want you to think about your personal self and your current relationship with the Lord God. Is it one-sided? Your side or God's side? Does your sinful side have control of your body? All of us are sinners, you know. All laity, all clergy, even church-going, loving, God-fearing Christians. That's a scary fact. I often try to hide some embarrassing sin that shames me, but I cannot hide it from God. And sometimes I cannot prevent consequences. This must keep the Holy Spirit pretty busy dispensing forgiveness for me. Yet I count on it. You can count on it too. Ask yourself if your relationship to God is current. Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you want one. This is scary. I've never asked people to think about things like this. But if the Holy Spirit is nudging you to change your lifestyle for Him, even if it's scary, the invitation is personal and calls for a personal decision. You are invited today to make that decision in front of God and in front of this loving congregation of your friends. Will you come as we sing our closing hymn,